You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Ewan Murray.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show. And after nearly 7 years, Eduardo Molinari is once again a winner on the European Tour.
Yeah, fantastic. You know, it's been a while. I've been through some very hard times in the last few years. And to get this, I'm very, very pleased.
Victory in the Trophy Hassan II for the Italian came after a playoff win against overnight leader Paul Dunn, who achieved his career best ever finish.
I've been playing well recently. I kind of came here expecting to do well. And I feel the same going into next week in China. So just a bit disappointed not to come out with the result we wanted, but step in the right direction.
A review of the action in Morocco coming up. We'll preview the next event on the European Tour as well, the Shenzhen International in China. And we'll let you know which British TV star is co-hosting the exciting and innovative Golf Sixes tournament next month. Hello, I'm Robert Lee, and alongside me is Ewan Murray. Ewan, welcome once again.
Good day to you. It's a wonderful part of the season. Looking forward to the next few weeks.
Yeah, everyone's getting into springtime. The flowers are blooming. The weather's getting better. It couldn't be better on the European Tour. We were in Morocco last week at a great golf course, Royal Dar es Salaam. A tough golf course, Ewan.
Difficult golf course, one that Keith Pelley said has become one of the top courses in the European Tour. And I think that showed with the scoring. It was a good test for all of these players, and only the best survived.
Yes, and not many under par, the winning score, even though it's a par 73.
Yes, generous par, but the emphasis there was on finding fairways. A lot of penalties should you go left or right. You had to shape the ball, and I think in the end we had a winner who's very comfortable doing exactly that.
A fantastic story, really, the Molinari story. Eduardo this time, because it's not had it easy all the way through.
No, and of course he was the top Molinari a few years ago when he won the American Amateur there, and Francesco was his caddy in the Masters. And I remember that moment on the first tee at Augusta National, and it all became a little too much for them at that age. But two players to be proud of, and with the Ryder Cup going to Italy in the years ahead, terrific win.
Yeah, really marvellous win for Eduardo. But he didn't have it all his own way once again, because he started four shots off the lead. He was always one of those that might spring from the pack.
I think the great thing when you have a golf course like that, which if you do go offline can result in bogeys, double bogeys or even worse, you've always got a chance. And when you've got a par five to finish with that's reachable in two, but only with two very good shots, you're going to see drama at the end. And that's exactly what we saw.
He got himself into the edge of things with a few holes to play. But then the bogey at 16, I sort of thought, watching it, that that might have been his chance gone.
I think he might have thought that as well. But as I say, a par five to finish with, much can happen. You have to remember that Paul Dunn was chasing his first victory. And you know yourself, that's never an easy task.
Mixed bag for Paul Dunn, Ewan, in the final round, because he had four bogeys and five birdies. But by the time he got to 18, Eduardo had already finished birdie eagle to set the clubhouse target.
Well, he'd asked a very difficult question. And although Dunn missed the fairway, it wasn't by much at 18. I thought it was a brave second to take out a rescue club there. And very narrow gap at the front of that green. Very good chip from the left edge, and 4 feet. Looked like he'd been doing it all his life. So off we went into extra time, and both players deserved that.
And that 18th hole, I know it's a par five, and pros normally think par five birdie hole, but it's far from a straightforward one.
Simply because of the narrow entrance, and if you throw it all the way over that front right-hand bunker, which encroaches on the front of the green, it's unlikely you're going to stay in the putting surface. So good test, wonderful finishing hole.
Yeah, and for Paul Dunn, looking for the big breakthrough, it's a playoff. A really good tee shot was essential. It didn't come.
No, I always think it's difficult. You finish last, you sign your card, and then you wonder out the lad you're playing alongside had finished a few minutes earlier, time to compose himself and maybe think of what's coming up. I always think that's a difficult thing to do, but no, it wasn't his best tee shot, and he'd be first to admit that.
And then he got it back into play. Eduardo had a crack at the green into front bunker. Still, the picture was unclear.
It was because of the lie that Molinari had, and it was a bunker shot he was going to have to hit fairly hard to get the elevation out there and get the spin on the ball. I thought Dunn's bunker shot, his fourth shot, was pretty good. He gave himself good opportunity to knock that in. It was just a great finish. And you look at Paul Dunn, he was leading the Open Championship. That didn't work out. You can understand that, such a young age, tremendous pressure. He's now started to play away, played very well over in Abu Dhabi for a spell there. And now he's come within a fraction of his first victory. So he's going through his education, his golfing education. And I think the rise, when it's slower, is better in the long run rather than hitting the forefront early on.
OK, time to speak to the most recent champion on the European Tour. We have Eduardo Molinari live on the line right now. Eduardo, you must be delighted.
I'm very, very happy, obviously. I can't believe it 100%, but I'm very, very happy and very relieved.
Did you have a good feeling coming into the week?
I was playing quite well, and I really like that golf course. You have to hit the ball well off the tee. You have to be very accurate with your shots to the green. So the scoring is always quite high, and those are the conditions that I usually play my best golf in.
Eduardo, it's Ewan here. When you bogeyed 16, did you feel your chances were gone?
I honestly thought that I still had a very, very slim chance. If I finished 2-3, which is very difficult but doable, and I was lucky that I hit a great tee shot on 70. But once I made the putt, all of a sudden, Paul Dunne had just bogeyed 16 as well. So all of a sudden, again, I was one behind from three behind of 10 minutes earlier. So at that point in time, I thought, there you go, if I can birdie 18 or maybe even have a three, I can win this.
What was the strongest part of your game throughout the 4 days?
I would say my iron shot, definitely. My driving was a little bit inconsistent. I hit some really good tee shots at the very last hole. But my iron play was, I think, fantastic. And I only had 7 bogeys on that golf course, which I think it's very, very few.
In the playoff, Eduardo, you bunkered your second shot off a good drive, and then you missed the green with your bunker shot, and then you putted from the rough. Explain your decision with the putter.
Well, the bunker shot wasn't too bad. I thought it was quite good. I was trying to hit it 15, 20 feet past the hole to have an easy putt. And then I just hit it a little bit too hard and the ball trickled down. And when I got there, it was a horrible lie into the grain. There was a bit of mud and sand under the ball. So, I could have chipped it. But if I chip that shot, then it's either stiff or I can leave it between my feet. So I thought just hit a putt, hit it somewhere within 6-7 feet, and then hopefully I can still make a 5.
When you were going through your injuries, did you ever doubt that you would come back to your best?
Yeah, probably, especially after the second one, because one time it can happen, but when it happens 2 times in the space of 2 years on the same hand, then it's very difficult to keep believing that you can make a comeback like this and go back to the top of the game. But just it took a lot longer than what I was hoping, but now it's a good time.
But now, Eduardo, with the confidence of the win, do you reset what you think is possible this year?
Well, obviously, the goal at the beginning of the season was just to keep the card, which is something that I wasn't able to do in the last 2 seasons. And I had a great winter at home, working hard on the swing, on my fitness, and the results are definitely paying off. I mean, I didn't expect to win this soon, but I was hoping to win again this year, and the fact that it came so early makes me very hopeful for the next few months.
So just tell us exactly where you are right now.
I am in the car on the highway between Torino and Milano, and I'm trying to catch a flight for Hong Kong in 1 hour and 45 minutes.
When you say Torino, Milano, it just sounds very romantic, Eduardo.
It's not very romantic. I just left my wife and baby girl at home, and I'll be away for 2 weeks, and then I can't wait to go back and spend some time with them.
Well, listen, it's a fantastic win, a great breakthrough, and this year now looks very good for Eduardo Molinari. Congratulations from us here on the Race to Dubai show.
Thank you very much, Robert. Thank you for having me.
He's thrilled, Ewan, isn't he? Eduardo, thrilled.
And why shouldn't he be after he's been through the injuries we discussed there, and the second time, the same injury, is that going to be the end? You have to go back to the school when you've already won twice. I think it's a wonderful story, and it might be the start of a better career from Molinari. There might be another 3 wins in there, or more.
That's right, if he stays healthy, that's the key thing for him. A few stats. It's his first European Tour win in 6 years and 232 days. Molinari's 3rd European Tour victory in his 233rd appearance on tour. His first since the Johnny Walker Championship at Glen Eagles in August 2010, and everybody remembers what he did there to make the Ryder Cup side with those 3 birdies to finish. The other European Tour win came in 2010 at the Barclays Scottish Open. Molinari has shot up the Race to Dubai standings from 90th to 14th, so he's inside the top 15 with that win in Morocco. Absolutely brilliant. And of course, when you do win in Morocco, you get a bejeweled dagger.
That's been the case for many years. Butch Harmon won that many years ago, and it's been part of that event all the way through from its very inception. I think it's lovely. It's very different from the norm.
And a very unusual tournament because the Ladies European Tour and the Men's European Tour at the same venue, not the same course though, concurrent events at the same time.
I was looking at a few comments yesterday that people would like to see a little more of that and combine the two together. So you have the expense of running one tournament, but you have two tournaments within there. And I think it's good for the ladies' game. I also think it's very good for the men's game as well. And the prize giving at the end, I don't know, there was a lot of class about that.
OK, let's hear from the runner-up, Ireland's Paul Dunne. He was pleased with his performance, but just felt the conditions were against him.
At the start, I was hitting every shot right where I wanted to, and I feel like we just kept misjudging the wind. You know, like I bogeyed the first, and I hit great second shot in. Thought the wind was into it at the right. It ended up turning out being down. So same thing happened on the sixth with an 8-iron. I thought the wind was down off the left. Turns out it was straight into. So two bogeys that kind of I felt like weren't my fault. You know what I mean? It was just a misjudgment of the wind. And then at the end, I played nicely as well. You know, I hit a great putt on 16, lipped out. Great putt on 17, stopped an inch short for birdie there, and then birdied the last to get into the playoff. You know, I was disappointed how I played the playoff, but I felt like I hit a really good putt on the 18th there. I kind of thought it would slide a little bit from the left to right, and it felt like to me it snuck a little left at the start and then just stayed there. It didn't move, so that was disappointing, you know, because I really felt like if I salvaged that and could get another shot at it, I'd have a good chance.
He's only 24, you, and he's got a bright future, Paul Dunne.
He has, and he's done an awful lot in his early years, which, as I said earlier, will serve him well. He's come close. He's just failed. He knows what failing is. Now he's got to find out what success is.
And maybe it's going to come in the subsequent weeks for the Irishman. Now, in third place was Paul Waring, one of five Englishmen to finish in the top 12. He carded a 3-under-par round of 70 on Sunday, but the 32-year-old is still looking for his maiden European Tour win.
Gave myself a chance, hit some great shots coming in. Obviously missed that putt in 16, which killed me really. I knew from there it was going to be a bit of a struggle. 17's a hard hole. It would have been nice to make, you know, roll that putt in on 18 and make the four. But obviously, good week. Incredibly disappointed just to fall short again, but hey-ho.
Wrist problems, that's the reason for his medical exemption. Which is a worse injury, a wrist or back?
I'd rather not have either of these, right. But what an inspiration, the win of Eduardo Molinari for Paul Waring. He's seen what Molinari's done and he might be the next one.
Yeah, excellent. And let's just hope all those players with injuries that come back, they are finished and they can carry on with their careers unencumbered. Another who also shot a 3-under-par 70 because it is par 73 Royal Darussalam on Sunday was Victor Dubuisson. He shared fourth place alongside Lasse Jensen of Denmark. It was a welcome return to action for the Frenchman after being out of action for 2 months.
My long game was really solid. I made some very important putt today, but you know, that's what you got to do to finish in the top 10. And I'm very happy because I haven't played for a long time before. So for the restart, it's very good. A round under par on this course is always very good because it's probably the toughest course we play all year.
He's got some game, Victor Dubuisson, when he's on.
He has. It looks like the players who played well last week are from the Red Cross. You know, I'm pleased that they've all come back from the difficult times. You know, when you get your confidence back, and it's nearly all about that. All of these fellas are good players, but when they stand on that first tee confident and they've got the talent, they can produce.
Well, let's have the 12, please, that made the top 10, Ewan.
Well, there was a five-way tie in eighth place. The ever-impressive Jordan Smith, who's got off to a really good start this year. Carlos Pighem, Renato Paratori, Trevor Fisher Jr. from South Africa, and another man who had a fine amateur career, Ashley Chesters. In sixth place, Daniel Brooks and Chris Hansen, they shared that. In fourth, there was two there as well, Dubuisson and Lasse Jensen. And the top three, Paul Waring, Paul Dunne, but the man of the moment so far in the European Tour in these last 7 days is Eduardo Molinari.
Fancy Race to Dubai tips look like this. Jamie Spence went for James Morrison, who tied 13th. Pretty good effort. And Dan Roebuck went for Alex Levy, 34th. So Spence taking out Roebuck quite easily. In the Fancy Race to Dubai game, Team Double Bogey, managed by Yao Paulo Costa, amassed the most points at the Trophy Hassan II with Molinari as captain, alongside the likes of Paul Dunne and Mark Foster in his team. Mark Hyburn and his team, Broccioli, lead the overall global standings. In our very own mini-league named the Sean Ryder Cup, listener James Tornus scored the most points this week, but Neil Morrison still leads the way by over a million points as of now. And keep an eye on europeantour.com next week for their fancy three to watch for the forthcoming Shenzhen International. So, Ewan, if we could have the Race to Dubai top 10 standings, please.
Certainly. Rafael Cabrera-Bao is 10th. Hideto Tanihara, who of course got to the semi-finals of the match play over in Austin, is in 9th. Then comes Rory McIlroy, Ross Fisher continuing after a strong finish to last season. Good start to this year. Thomas Peters, Charles Schwartzel is in fifth place, and the four players ahead of him, Justin Rose, the excellent young Spaniard John Ram, Tommy Fleetwood relegated to second in the race to Dubai, courtesy, of course, of Sergio Garcia's victory at Augusta National.
Thank you, Ewan. Now, in other news, England's Luke Donald finished runner-up and one shot behind Wesley Bryan, who carded a 4-under-par 67 to earn a maiden PGA Tour victory at the RBC Heritage in South Carolina. It's Donald's highest finish on the PGA Tour this year and the fifth time he's been runner-up at the tournament. And by the way, that puts him third all-time for players that have played a tournament and not won and finished runner-up. 7 for Jack Nicklaus, 6 for Phil Mickelson in the US Open, and Donald now with his 5th second-place finish at Harbour Town is third all-time. A fantastic record, but he would have rather had the win, no doubt about that. Meanwhile, Ian Poulter finished in a share of 11th place, and because he's playing on a medical exemption after foot surgery last year, it means he now has just one chance to get the prize money required to secure his playing card for the rest of the season, and that will be at the Valero Texas Open this week. So he needs another good finish. Got to make the cut. Pressure is going to be on Ian Poulter. But that wasn't his only worry. On Saturday at the 10th hole, his tee shot landed in the water and then he dropped it out on the bank, very close to a scary spectator, about 7 feet from him.
One of our little gator friends that we have around, you know, this golf course was kind of 5 feet away, and I took a couple of dummy swings and he decided to come in to have a closer look. And obviously, it was slightly unsettling. Got a club out the bag. I didn't want to kind of, you know, touching with it in case he kind of took it away.
Well, the alligator was eventually persuaded to go elsewhere by a caddy, and unfortunately, after going out in 4-under-par, Ian Poulter had a bad run on 10 and 11, dropped 3 shots, which, when you see where he finished in the end, tied 11th, 1 shot better would have got him his card. It turned out to be very expensive indeed. So, crocodiles, alligators, nasties on the golf course, Ewan, in your experience?
Well, very recently at the Arnold Palmer Invitational at Bay Hill, we had a crocodile sitting on the edge of the bank, and Cody Gribble came up and tapped it on the tail and off it went. Had it turned the other way, I'm not sure Cody would have been quite as brave. And I noticed Poulter and Terry Mundy's caddy weren't that brave either.
Yeah, alligators are, you know, you see them and pretty much they don't get involved. But I don't really worry about those on the golf course. But I do get very concerned with snakes.
Well, they've got the full Monty over there in the United States. And, of course, they have down the southeast of England, too, with the adders. But I don't think there's anyone who's comfortable with either.
OK, top 10 in the world rankings, please, Ewan.
In 10th place, Adam Scott. Ricky Fowler in 9. Justin Rose up to 8 after his fine performance at Augusta National. Garcia up to 7. Henrik Stenson just outside the top 5, which consists of Jordan Spieth at 5, Hideki Matsuyama at 4, Jason Day is 3rd, Rory McIlroy is quite a distance behind the world number one right now, Dustin Johnson.
Thank you, Ewan. Now, the other news to share with you this week is that British TV and radio presenter Vernon Kay will be the co-host of the new Golf Sixes tournament. 6 rounds of 6-hole matches involving 2-man teams representing 16 different nations will compete at the Centurion Club at St Albans on the 6th and 7th of May. The prize fund is a cool €1 million. There's going to be tons of stuff going on at the venue, including pyrotechnics, music and food from all competing nations. Vernon says this event is fresh and energetic and hopes it will be able to entertain existing fans as well as attracting new people to the sport. Tickets are available from golfsixes.com/tickets. Now time to preview the next event on the Race to Dubai calendar, the Shenzhen International in China. And always this time of the year, Ewan, a lot of travelling for the professionals.
There certainly is before they come back home into European territory, but there's a European flavour to Shenzhen. It's down the southeastern corner of China. That's just across the border from Hong Kong. And it's been a very popular venue for the players over the course of the last couple of years.
Quite a bit of risk and reward as you get towards the end of the golf course. Lots can happen.
Like we were saying in Morocco last week, the few shots can change hands. One brilliant shot at just the right time can be worth 2 or 3. So I'd expect another exciting week.
Bubba Watson is turning up for the 3rd straight year. He does like a trip to China.
Yeah, surprise there. Bubba needs to regain his confidence, having been over in the States in the course of the last 2 months or so. He's lacking in the confidence department. He's lost a lot of weight, which I think is probably affecting his golf. He probably needs to get a few pounds back on and get back to the Bubba we know. And maybe that's the right thing to do, is go out there and try and seek a tournament victory, get that confidence level back and move into the meat and drink of the season.
Well, Suman Lee is the defending champion. Just give us a flavour of who's making the trek across there, Ewan.
Well, it's a very high-quality field, as you'd expect, because fairly handsome prize fund as well. We've got Robert Carson, who, of course, struck the very first ball of the Race to Dubai. That was over in China at the Xishan International Club, long time ago now. Bernd Wiesberger, he's been playing a bit over in the States. Tommy Fleetwood, of course, second in the Race to Dubai, will make that journey from the United States back to Europe and over to China, looking maybe to get ahead of Sergio Garcia, who's replaced him at the top of that list. There's Torbjørn Olesen, Alexander Levy has a very good record over in China, and Jos Luiten. They're the top boys out there, but there's a strong entry from China as well.
It's a great chance, isn't it, for regional professionals to shine and make a name for themselves straight away, particularly for Chinese?
Oh, without any question. And this was the whole idea of the European Tour 7 or 8 years ago. In fact, even longer than that, when we went to the HSBC, when David Howell took out Tiger Woods there, there wasn't that many Chinese players in there. There was just a handful of them. But you look at the entry list now and there's a good 25, 30, 35 people in there. And they're all trying to make their mark. It's the first step on the ladder for them. And believe me, in the next 5 or 6 years, there'll be an awful lot more Chinese players in our Race to Dubai list.
So you put the entry list into the Ewan Murray number cruncher. And what tip have you come out with?
I'm going for a Chinese player who's already won on the European Tour. I'm going for Li Hao Tong, who I've known since he was 16 years of age. Good temperament, good player, plays very much his own way, very similar to John Ram from Spain, who's been doing so well in America. So I'm going Chinese, Li Hao Tong.
OK, I'm going to counter that with Pablo Larrazábal, who didn't have the best final round last week, but I think he's going to come into a bit of form. So, yeah, that's it for now. Next week, we will have a full review of the Shenzhen International and look ahead to the Volvo China Open. Between now and then, you can stay up to date with the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat and Instagram. And don't forget, you can ask a question for us to answer on the show. Tweet it to @EuropeanTour using the hashtag ETPodcast. But for now, for Ewan Murray, who's gone for?
I've gone for Li Hao Tong, and with our other presenter last week finishing tied 34th, I'm hoping for a better return.
And you probably will get one from Li Hao Tong. And I've gone for, of course, Pablo Larrazábal. We'll see you next time.